Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra. Joining me is Jesse Hall. How are things going?
I'm doing good. Hopefully you are.
Yeah, doing real well. And of course, you know, Packers and Packers fans alike, happy coming off a victory. Obviously, there's the win against the Texans. Before we get into the Week 8 matchups, or anything you wanted to say about the Week 7 contest against the Texans?
Yeah, it was a nice bounce back win after an ugly loss. So the defense looked better. They have a top 10 offense and an elite quarterback, and we shut them down. So there was a lot of positives to take from that game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think that there's a few things that will translate as well from that game, specifically defensive secondary strategies, which I suppose we can start anywhere. We start at the back end there, right? So there's a few players who didn't practice today. A lot of limited practice participation. The big one there is David Bakhtiari. Weren't sure how long that was going to be, but if he's already coming back to practice, maybe hope, but at least looks like it's not serious. But the only players who didn't practice were Mason Crosby, which, there's concern there, but Aaron Jones and then Kevin King. And this will be, if Kevin King misses this week, this will be, his third straight game, I believe?
Yeah.
Because he played, I believe, because he got injured in the Saints game, I think.
Yeah, it was the Saints game. Yep, this is when he got hurt. I agree. And Jackson's been getting better week to week, so that's a good problem to have there. And, King might be getting in the hot seat, too, and it might affect the future if Jackson can keep improving each week.
Yeah, and last week, we were wondering how are the Packers going to approach coverage, when we both kind of agreed, Alexander Plaster on Fuller, but it seemed like there was that happened, but it seemed like they basically just played zone. Like, we're just going to play a full zone everywhere and, force them to beat us after the catch. And, far as I remember, everyone, all the defensive backs that were tasked with it made tackles, didn't allow any big, massive plays. Again, the one big play to Cobb was, Sullivan seemed like he thought he would pass it off, and then it didn't, and, wide open man downfield. Other than that communication error, though, everyone, individually made plays, they made tackles, covered really well. And I think the emergence of Justin Jefferson, I think, necessitates kind of extra coverage. I think in week one, it was sort of easy to go, okay, you know what? And really, even in week one, Alexander didn't necessarily shadow Thielen, because there were some snaps he played from the slot where Sullivan actually ended up covering him. But it did kind of seem like we're going to put Alexander on him either side of the field, wherever he goes, except maybe in the slot. But I do wonder if maybe they just go full zone, thinking that, if Alexander can at least be in the vicinity of either Thielen or Jefferson on every play and shut them down, it kind of increases the odds elsewhere. So do you think they kind of employ what they did against the Texans in a similar fashion against the Vikings, especially if King's out again?
Yeah, I do. I like, we play zone more than anybody in the league. And last week we played it a ton. I think it was like 65% of our snaps were in zone. But we tackled well. That, it's really not Packer-esque, really. We usually struggle tackling, and that's always a Achilles heel. But our guys tackled, didn't get beat deep, kept everything in front of them, and it worked. I mean, it was a good strategy. We played fast, and I think Justin Jefferson's a future stud. I mean, that kid, he's my favorite receiver in the draft by far. And his emergence, it can be a problem, but I think if we deploy that kind of same style again, that can kind of take away the bigger plays, because he's either been hit or miss this year. His three games that he went over 100, it was over 160 yards in each of them, or the other three, he didn't do anything. I think the first matchup, he had two catches for like 25 yards against us. So, yeah, I think the zone will work just fine, and if we can start generating some pressure, win on first down, it should be, perfect setup for us.
Just to continue on the defensive back, and the injuries, Raven Green, who did leave the game with an injury, I thought actually played pretty well before he was hurt against the Texans game. Was I think I misgave a, I think that was Green I meant to say that had that miss in communication with on the Cobb coverage, not Chandon Sullivan. So sorry, Chandon Sullivan.
Green, yeah, he did play good. He played good 3 weeks ago, had a bad game 2 weeks ago, then he kind of bounced back and played good again this last week. Mike Pettine really likes to use him as kind of like that third linebacker role, but he can then go out in coverage or, you know, kind of flare out and, you know, for zones and stuff. So it's a nice little, yeah, I think that's where he excels too, closer to the line of scrimmage.
But he, I mean, he was step for step on that, you know, that one play where he almost could have maybe had a pick, you know, Kenny Stills on a go route. Like that's, you know, Kenny Stills, you can kind of say what you want about him. That's a guy that knows how to run deep and like, you know, get open on those types of routes. So it was good to see Green, like, be, you know, okay, he was tested there. You know, it did seem like Watson was kind of looking in his direction, especially in the first half, maybe thinking, okay, he struggled against the Buccaneers. Was that something they were trying to exploit? But yeah, huge bounce back game. Unfortunately, did leave with an injury, limited practice participation. Same thing for Savage. So maybe Savage does get back this week and maybe Raven Green doesn't miss a week. But I mean, if both are out and Kevin King's out, then, you know, we are talking about the depth here, but eventually that's going to get a little too tested, I think. And I don't know. I mean, yeah, certainly not a better quarterback. Although I do think Kirk Cousins maybe is a little underrated because he's you know, a pretty effective passer, can make all the throws pretty well. He's pretty accurate. You know, decision making not always the greatest. You know, if you pressure him, he's not the greatest trying to, you know, maneuver through an unclean pocket and with a lot of pressure his face or having to get outside. So, you know, obviously the Packers are capable of doing that. It's really just forcing that issue because, you know, you're saying, you know, I almost wonder if Justin Jefferson's already a stud or at least he's had some, you know, studly performances. So I am, you know, maybe a little even more concerned than I was about the Fuller Cooks combination. I mean, I don't know, even though he's a rookie, you know, I would probably just receivers alone probably take Thielen and Jefferson right now than over Fuller and Cooks. I don't know. Am I giving too much credit to the rookie there?
No, I think the top two, Thielen and Jefferson, are better. But then after that, I think there's a drop off where Houston, you know, they could use receivers and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm that high on him. I think he's really, really good. And, you know, Thielen's, you know, we know what he can do. But yeah, it's their 1-2 punch is really nice. I guess we'll find out more about our injuries back there tomorrow because they, like you said, they're both limited today. But also, Amos has been stacking successes. You know, God, I hope he can get a turnover one of these days, but he's getting the opportunities and he's putting himself in position. So, I'm really happy how the secondary is coming around.
I mean, I guess he did recover the fumble. He didn't force it. So I guess it doesn't technically count as a turnover for him necessarily, right? Yeah. Counts for Black, which, I mean, good for him. Welcome to the NFL. That was quite a moment, right? So good for that. And again, I think injury-wise, again, I've seen a lot of limited participation, which is good. I mean, Wednesday, you know, limited could mean so many things on Wednesday, right? I think it's more key to see Thursday, Friday reports. But again, seeing Bakhtiari at least practice, which he didn't do at all last week. So now, I mean, we did see this a couple weeks ago with Adams. You know, he came in right away with, you know, limited all week, and they still held him out. So, you know, especially considering the short week, that'll come next week. I do wonder how many of these players, like I'm thinking like Aaron Jones, especially, and maybe even, you know, at least one of the defensive backs, either Green or Savage, do they just say, you know what, maybe this isn't, let's rest them Sunday so we can have them on Thursday. And I kind of get the sense that, especially Bakhtiari, considering how well Billy Turner played at left tackle, I think at this point, considering the loss of Yannick Ngakoue, which I thought that was huge, and the fact that Danielle Hunter hasn't come back, they don't have those finishers as pass rushers anymore. Really, they lost their entire pass rush. And you know, just mentioning a little bit that, you know, they're injured and, you know, lost in free agency and just the devoid of talent in that pass rush. I think I'm fine with Turner and Wagner at that tandem on the edge. If they could take Merciless and Watt and have a pretty good game, I think I'll take them against what the Vikings have right now.
Oh yeah, big time. Yeah, you can't say enough about what Billy Turner's done. You know, we were kind of talking, we thought Jenkins might be getting pushed out there, but Billy Turner went out there and he did great. And, you know, anytime I guess I can take a dig at the Vikings, I will. But from a team where they were last year to this year, wow, are they decimated, you know, between injuries and then that Ngakoue move that they made, you know, they give up a second. Now they turn around just to get something back. And, I mean, that's a big drop off from a high second to going to be a low third. So, you know, hey, good for the Vikings, I guess. But, yeah, their pass rush is just so beat up. And now their corner, you know, their secondary, they had Cam Dantzler went on the COVID list today, this morning, I believe. And then Holton Hill and Hughes both did not practice today. So I don't know who their cornerbacks are going to be this Sunday because they are beat up in that secondary.
Among the players potentially returning from injury includes Chris Barnes, who second week in a row is left with an injury. You know, against the Buccaneers, he did return, but unfortunately not the case against the Texans. Now, it wasn't even Ty Summers that stepped in. It was Kamal Martin, and I believe, I can't remember if it was Pettine or LaFleur mentioned after the game that he hadn't really taken any snaps at middle linebacker. It'd kind of been, you know, he's obviously been in the meetings, but like to actually be out there calling the plays, and you know, he did really well. So all this training camp hype, I think, was warranted. He looked the part, and I think he ended up playing about, I remember seeing, I think 40% of the snaps, or
just
over a third, right, and kind of split that same thing. I think Barnes ended up playing about a third as well. So, just that. I guess there weren't, and I mean, there wasn't always a middle linebacker on the field either at times. Sometimes you can kind of have Za'Darius be that guy, even though he's kind of all over the place. But, I mean, looks like Martin's, at least looking the part, at least capable of being a linebacker, and it kind of justifies them not taking Patrick Queen and waiting so long to draft him, because he certainly, I don't think we could expect this from a was it fifth-round pick?
Sixth. So, yeah.
Speaking of picks, you know, for the Vikings, going from a early in one round to later in the next round, if you do that in like the fifth or sixth round, like an early fifth to a late sixth, that's not so bad. But the second to third, you're still in the top 100 there. There's a lot of impact players that you're passing up on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what could have been, right? If they had Hunter and Ngakoue, it's like, wow, that's a scary duo to, you know, are they going to make Hunter the highest paid pass rusher next year, you know, coming off a neck surgery, and now who's going to be on the other side? So yeah, just a crazy turn of events for them right there. But on the linebackers, yeah, like you're saying, you know, they didn't get clean and everybody was all up in arms about it. But now you have Barnes. I think Barnes is a player. That kid looks really good. And now you're seeing a lot coming out of Martin too. So those are going to be two long-term starters, you know, barring injury or something else. But, yeah, I like what we see. They play with a lot of juice, and they attacked. That was the big thing. Like, Martin played downhill. It's been a long time that we saw Packard linebackers, you know, making plays right at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, it was fun. It was fun to watch. And you got Kirksey coming back also. He practiced in limited form today also. So, hey, competition is a good thing, and everybody getting better together. It seems like, you know, from a team that we didn't know or a lot of question marks on depth, it looks like we have a lot of people that can step in and not miss a beat.
Not the sort of glass cannon thing where it's always incredible, but like as soon as, yeah, you lose some of the depth. I was a little concerned about that, actually. It's like, okay, yeah, great starting lineup, but, it, you know, as soon as one person goes down anywhere, are we... But, yeah, everyone stepped up, and, you know, Jamal Williams has been doing basically what Aaron Jones is doing. He did find the end zone eventually. And I remember noting, like, how many times did he get tackled inside the 5-yard line? pretty sure all, because they scored 3 touchdowns from inside the 5, and it was all Rodgers passes. And I think all of them were set up by Jamal Williams.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, he found pay dirt, and he's, you know, we can use him in the passing game, and he does really good there. Yeah. He's a perfect complement to what Aaron Jones does. And then if you don't have Jones for a couple games, you feel really comfortable with him coming in there and getting the job done. And he's really good in pass protection too. I think I know he missed one 2 weeks ago when we played Tampa Bay, but it was kind of a hard block. But other than that, that guy's really sound in protecting Rodgers also.
And I noted in the recap episode, he missed one in the Texans game too. That was the one where, you know, Rodgers had to throw that. I know some people have mentioned this. Like, it wasn't an off pass to Adams where he kind of threw it low on that third down, because he had to scramble out because Williams totally missed that assignment and Rodgers recognized it, got out of there and kind of off platform through it. But later in that drive, Adams' big touchdown, he came back and he picked up the blitz perfectly, gave Rodgers the time on that one, and that one really kind of set things. Okay, this is, you know, the Texans, I believe, was coming right after the Texans scored their first touchdown. So, you know, as a momentum drive, like.
Yep. I remember that play now, too, right when you said it, because they're blitzing off the edge there. I remember, yeah, that was a heck of a play by Rodgers, and he totally did miss it. But you're right.
But again, to have faith in your players, and for the coaching staff to, at that point, you know, he'd been playing well. I think that was his only mistake in pass protection, at least the only one I noticed. Maybe not always paying attention to the greatest, but I didn't notice anything else really egregious that he messed up on. And so, that, you know, one mistake, they didn't punish him for it. They didn't pull him from the game. They trusted him. And, you know, when he, you know, when it was really needed at a very key moment, he stepped up, literally and figuratively, of course. Although, I mean, they, you know, A.J. Dillon did get play, came in a little bit, but as, you know, as the third quarter went on, they seemed like, to realize, okay, Williams was at that point playing much better, keep him in. Another player who I was a little surprised didn't necessarily play as much as I thought I would was Kenny Clark, who he only ended up about playing I think right around 2/3 of the snaps, if I remember seeing that correctly. And even that, I thought that was a little high. I thought that number would have turned out to be a little lower, because especially in the first half, it seemed like they were saving him mostly for third downs or obvious pass rush situations. And as the game went on and it got a little closer, it seemed like he was out there a little more, especially in red zone situations that kind of kept him in there. But I don't know, I felt he was rotating out a little more than usual on early downs. Did you get that sense?
Yeah, I noticed that too. I know a couple of weeks ago I kind of said have him on a pinch count, and we're kind of like, well, if he's back, he's back. But I think a lot of it is because every year of his career, he gets so many snaps, and I think it's hard. And then him coming back from injury, the other guys are stepping up and playing pretty well. I mean, we've been playing the run actually really good outside of like garbage time. So yeah, I think they really wanted to use him more in pass rushing situations, you know, and kind of keep him fresh right now. So, hey, if we got the other guy, you know, especially with Lancaster not playing, you got other guys stepping up and playing pretty solid. You know, you bring in a guy off the practice squad and he's getting snaps and we're holding our own. That's, of course, I don't think Houston has the best running attack, but it's pretty admirable performances by those other guys.
And, I mean, it seemed like Kingsley Keke came in and immediately kind of put himself above, you know, Montrevis Adams and Lancaster a little bit, and kind of just as the, okay, no, I'm the next guy to step up. That a few games ago, he had a few impact plays, rushing and in the run game. But then I thought Montrevis Adams may have played his best game as a Packer against the Texans. So he was just consistent snap to snap, was able to get off blocks, didn't just disappear for the entire stretch of the game.
Yeah, well, that was the big thing. I remember Kenny Clark doing an interview and saying, you know, Adams probably has the best get-off, you know, an explosion out of all the D-linemen, which is pretty high praise, but he just would seem to get lost and washed out. And like you said, you could notice him this last, you know, the last game where he was making plays and holding his own, and, I mean, they couldn't do nothing against him. So, yeah, it's nice to see that he's coming into his own right now, you know, and just the whole defense as a whole from, you know, from some bad stretches, they're starting to like just tighten up, and, you know, the mental mistakes and just like stuff like that is starting to go away.
Now we'll move over to offense. I guess we already talked about running backs, you know, whatever. Okay. We're talking about protection and like defensive strategy sort of. Okay. That doesn't fly. Talked a little bit about the offensive line too, but, you know, how about, you know, let's talk about Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. I mean, this is, you know, we saw it against the Vikings last time, so it's pertinent here too. But games where he's left one-on-one without any like double teaming or any mass blanket coverage, Rodgers is just going to look his way every time. I mean, it's one of those, you know, do something different and then I won't, or else I'll just keep exploiting this because why not?
Yeah. I mean, if you can't stop it, you can't stop it. Third down, what, seven third downs he went to him and they were first downs. I mean, I just don't understand why they're not giving help over there, because Adams is just abusing people.
And I wonder if it's, okay, trust in the players, stubborn coaching, perhaps. I don't know. Don't really want to say that about Romeo Crennel so much. I'm thinking more Mike Zimmer on that point in current terms of this week. I mean, is he going to stick to what they tried in week one that completely didn't work and kind of say, well, you know, a lot of rookies playing and, you know, 7 weeks of NFL game experience is going to do so much more for them than anything else in their career up to that point. So you maybe think, have they gotten better enough that we'll try that anyway? Because, I mean, I don't think it matters how good they are. I think it's, that's just Adams, right? Like he's an elite level receiver, and, you know, there's not really very many corners that could hang with him. I mean, I love Jair Alexander, but do you think Jair Alexander would really be able to take out Adams? I think more often than not, Adams is going to just find ways to make catches.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably the, you know, best route runner and guy to get off the line in the league. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to speculate, but there are guys. But, yeah, it would definitely be, I would favor Adams in that. And, I mean, going back to the Vikings right now, who are their corners going to be? They don't – who knows who's going to be playing for them? So I would think they would try to maybe play more of a zone and, you know, maybe, you know, they know Adams is going to catch it, but keep it in front of them. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to play, because if you're going to have guys off the street or guys that haven't played, if, you know, Hill can't go and Hughes can't go, you have Jeff Glandy, I believe, is the only – and who's a rookie – who's the only one that's really left that was on the team even when we played week one. So they are in a lot of trouble.
Because, I mean, he was, I believe, their first-round pick. So, you know, there's expectations. I was actually surprised. I don't think he saw Adams too much. I almost thought that was going to be the case, where he was maybe going to be on Adams a little more just because of that first-round cachet. Now it might happen.
Yeah, hey, well, I like our odds there, so... And, you know, even if they, you know, try to tilt to take Adams away, our other guys should be able to feast, or more than likely they should do something. So that's what I'm hoping. Maybe an MVS can have a few plays, because he kind of disappeared the last month.
And again, I get, you know, the appeal of Marquez Valdes-Scantling, it seems, is, you know, when he can get, you know, if he's the only one that's one-on-one, Rodgers will go that way. But it, again, it's not how the Texans played it. And so maybe, I mean, he did have a decent game against the Vikings, did score a touchdown. Is that his only touchdown so far this year?
Yeah. Yeah. And he had also another nice catch in that game too. So that was his probably best game of the year. So, but Alan Lazard practiced today too. So I don't think he's going to be playing, but you never know.
Yeah. Knowing just how patient the Packers have been, I'm surprised he's even been practicing. I guess, you know, they were saying 4 to 6 weeks. I guess it's been... I guess it's been about a month now since, so we're right in that time frame. Again, that 4 to 6 was kind of more reported than real anything official, so it could, we'll have to see. But it does seem as though it doesn't even matter necessarily, because whoever's the running back is more likely going to be the number two target anyway. It, you know, there were games this year where Lazard really kind of commanded that, and maybe, you know, it maybe makes it interesting, but, you know, Lazard's out. I gather if Jones is in, he's probably the number two target. If not, it's probably going to be Jamal Williams, right? And I believe that was something that worked against the Vikings. Actually, not quite, because they did have Kendricks kind of... I feel like there was a lot of catches for running backs, just not a lot of yards beyond it. And so, you know, was more on the ground. You know, which also, you know, tough matchup for tight ends in that, if Kendrick's able to cover like he was that game. So maybe, you know, Robert Tonyan isn't the answer. So yeah, you're right. Maybe it does end up being Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Although Malik Taylor did look good. You know, he's been playing a lot of snaps, but not really getting the targets and, you know, starting to go that way. I do wonder if that trends upwards.
Yeah, and I mean, this is the week, I mean, you want to be, you know, kind of exploit the weaknesses, and Kendricks is probably, you know, him and Harrison are probably their best players on defense, so spread them out. You know, that's what I'm kind of, you know, don't put yourself in situations where you go to where the two best players are. You know, maybe we use the boundaries a lot more and try to take advantage of these corners, and, you know, guys like Malik Taylor and stuff like that might get a lot more targets, or at least some opportunities to make some plays. Because I think the matchups will favor them more than, like you said, Tanyan and stuff in the middle, with a good linebacker and a good safety over the top.
So I think we touched on everything. You know, we did mention offensive line. I did like your theory about Jenkins maybe playing left tackle, but you know, as we mentioned, Billy Turner did seem to play it pretty well. So I wonder if that's even a, you know, knowing that he's under contract next year and Bakhtiari isn't, is that also maybe a leverage move on the Packers' part there?
Oh man, yeah, I heard someone talk about that, and I mean, I don't even want to go there yet. Okay, let's see if he keeps playing out there and how he does, because it was one game, you know, and yeah. You don't really want to let go of a guy like Bach. But yeah, if they can continue to thrive and be good, yeah, I mean, there's going to be questions, you know, and it's going to be options that you think about. So who knows? We'll cross that bridge when we get there, I guess.
I would say to that, it's probably more likely that he's securing himself as maybe a long term future at right tackle for the Packers, because I think he's only maybe got 1 year left. So maybe they're thinking maybe this is our long term right tackle that we can, you know, continue to pay in this sort of price range that he is now. Hopefully, too much. You know, I thought again another good performance by the interior, as to be expected now. Hoping that everyone there stays healthy and everyone that isn't healthy right now comes back healthy. And again, division game against the Vikings, regardless of their record, it's going to be big no matter what. Not to take them lightly. Again, really good receiving core, especially, and if Dalvin Cook plays, really good running back. So some talent there that they're going to have to contend with. And then it's a quick turnaround for the Week 9 Thursday night game against the 49ers. So anything you want to say, Jesse, before we sign off?
Yeah, like you said, I hope, you know, I think maybe I'm taking the Vikings a little bit lightly. I think we should blow them out, but I hope the Packers aren't thinking like me and they handle business. But yeah, the biggest thing I think will be health. I mean, we're going into a team, you know, you don't want to look past the Vikings, but, you know, go in, handle business, get a nice lead on them, and then stay healthy. That's, you know, and do the best you can. Traveling to the West Coast has not been our forte the last year. So hopefully we can come out of this game relatively healthy and get a W and go on to the next one.
Yeah, the coveted divisional win. And just as you know, our coveted listeners, we appreciate you all. Thank you. And reach out to us on Twitter at @FPC_Packers. You also have Jesse at @Hall_JHall1212. I'm @SenraSays. And as always, download the Full Press Coverage app, available for free on iOS and Android stores. And yeah, the coveted divisional win. Hoping to get it again this week and keep racing what's been a great season that we're going to follow along, of course, here on a Full Press Packers pod.